Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I've
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank him for another opportunity to be able to get together in fellowship and learn more about him. Amen. Before we get started, I would like to open up in prayer. Welcome to Eagle Wings International Ministry Blog Talk. Amen. With our leader, under the leadership of Apostle Marcus Dupree and Lady Prophet Celine Dupree, Prophet Gabrielle. Amen. With all heads bowed and eyes closed. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, to serve you, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord. We ask right now that you be in the midst of this service, Lord, from the first person on to the last person that hangs up, Lord. We ask that you decrease us and increase you. Put aside us, Lord, and allow you to come forth. Use us in a mighty way, Lord. We thank God for Prophet Gabrielle, and we thank God for Minister Saunders, who's on this evening, Lord. And, Lord, we just ask that you use us and myself, Prophet Londa. We ask that you use us in a mighty way, Lord. We thank you for Apostle Marcus Dupree and Lady Prophet Celine Dupree entrusting us with the line this evening, Lord. Allow your will and your way to be done. And everyone that's on, Lord, you know what they're in need of, and we ask that you bless them and their family in a mighty way. We love you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you in advance, for we know it's done. Your word says that we abide in you and you in us, we ask, and it will be done, and that's according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, everyone, welcome, welcome, welcome. I would like to take time to welcome my dear big sister, Prophet Gabrielle, amen, of Eagle Wings International Ministry, and Minister Saunders, amen, my big brother, my real
amen.
Big brother.
Amen. Good evening, everybody. Good
amen.
Man.
Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome, welcome. Again, we welcome you to Eagle's Wing International Ministry Blog Talk Radio under the leadership of Apostle Marcus Dupree and Lady Prophet Celine Dupree. Amen. So we're coming here to let God use us in a mighty, mighty way. And before we start, we just want to remind you of the number 347-945-5416. If you have any questions or comment, you could press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen. Because this is a show where you can comment and chime in. Amen. This evening, we will be on the subject of violence. Amen. Minister Saunders, Prophet Gabrielle, and myself, we will be talking about violence and domestic violence. Oh, a topic that's so hush-hush in the church today. But as I say on Blog Talk, we keep it real. So if you're ready for fake, you can hang up. But if you're ready for real, stay on. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to turn the floor over to my big brother, Minister Saunders. You can start us off. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just thank God for this opportunity tonight to be able to reach out to those of you who called in and are listening. And we just want to just tackle a couple of issues that have, as we could say, are being swept under the rug, but it is issues that are relevant to today's times, issues that need to be addressed. And, so I'm going to start it off with a little bit. I just want to kind of talk about the senseless violence that's taking place out here in the world and in the streets today. And you know, the Bible tells us that if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men in Romans 12 and 18. Yeah. So I just wanted us to know that we're gonna come across some confrontations in this world. We're gonna deal with some difficult people. Amen. We're gonna deal with some people that are going to try and get under our skin, some people that's going to plot and try to go against us, that wants to hurt, harm, and bring danger to us. We're going to deal with these kind of people. So even though we come across these type of people, it is our duty on us. We need to hold ourselves accountable. We know that we can't expect everybody to be peaceful towards us. But we have the power to live peacefully with them. Amen. We can do our part to remain peaceful, even when, you know, there's people that always want to act foolish and want to bring drama in our direction, always want to keep up chaos and confusion and bring conflict. And we're gonna come across some hateful folks in this world, because even Jesus said that as lawlessness increase, the hearts of many shall wax cold. And the world we're living in, it looks like day by day we just seeing more and more people, their hearts are getting colder and colder. We just seeing that it all starts in the heart, and we just seeing that people no longer have love in their hearts for one another. That we can't settle disputes as mature adults anymore. We feel that our answer to conflict is to the first thing a lot of us doing now in society is just running to get a gun, or we running and going to get a whole gang of people to go jump and beat down somebody. But that's not the answer. So it's up to us, each and every one of us that's on this line that's calling in, and us that's hosting, that we promote peace. We have to be the peacemakers. For Jesus did say, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessings come to you when you keep the peace. And we need peace in this world. We need to keep some peace in this world now more than ever, because we know that the enemy is busy. Satan is busy, and he's busy stirring up a lot of mess and a lot of drama. So it's up to us to defeat that by promoting peace, by allowing the world to see peace in us. And the only way that we're going to get that peace, we got to get that peace from Christ. Because he says this in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you.
Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled, let it be afraid. So we got to get this peace from Christ. And it got to come in us through the Holy Spirit. Because the world is not going to offer us no peace. We can look at the world right now, and we see the state of the world. We see how people out here are warring against each other. We see that the one thing that the world cannot give us is peace, because the world doesn't even have peace. The world is just full of envy and strife and jealousy, and we just seeing so much battles against flesh and blood, even though that's not where the battle lies. But because of the state of the world, we feel that our battle is with our brothers and sisters. We feel that our battle is with each other in this world. But our battle is with a being that's greater than a human being. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Our being
Amen.
Is with us against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're dealing with a being that is greater than us. So we have to defeat this being with the weapons of God. We have to defeat him with prayer. We have to defeat him with the word. That's what Jesus defeated him. He made Satan leave with the word. So we have to defeat all of this out here in the world, all of this warring and all this battle. We have to defeat it with the word. But
Amen.
If you don't have no word in you, then you're going to keep getting defeated.
That's right.
You're
going
to keep allowing people that's bitter and misery to make you bitter and miserable, because you don't have a word in you. You're going to keep letting negative people get under your skin because you don't have no word in you. You have to make sure you have word in you. For Jesus said, man should not live alone by bread, but all because he shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we get the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God right here in the Holy Bible. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you on this line to make sure that you feed yourself the word of God daily.
Amen.
You got to eat it daily, because what happens is, just like when you don't eat food daily, you wind up starving. When you don't eat the word of God, you are starving yourself spiritually. And when you starving yourself spiritually, that's when the enemy shows up.
Amen.
That's when the enemy will cause you to get out of your character. That's when the enemy will use you to bring hurt, harm, and danger to somebody, or to allow you to get hurt, harmed, or be put in danger. So it is important that you have the word of God inside of you, and make sure that through that word you receive the peace of Christ. Because as long as you got that peace of Christ in you, that no matter how much negativity people throw at you, no matter how much mess and drama people try to bring in your direction, you don't have to worry about it. Your heart is not troubled about it, because you know you got the peace of God, that you have a peace that surpasses all understanding. You have a peace that people could ask, how is they doing it? How is they still being positive? How they still got a smile on their face, even though when I cuss them out, even when I call them out of their name? How is they still not showing no type of emotional anger? It's because you got the peace of Christ. And I believe when we have peace in us, we are able to go out and promote peace. And we just have to bring this peace into the world, because we just living in a world where people are just so immature. We just seeing people killing one another out here for just the smallest thing. Somebody owe you 10 cents. You want to go grab a gun and kill them. Somebody have said an insult towards you, and you just want to feel that you have to go and get even. But 1 Peter 3:9 says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you shall inherit a blessing. So what happens is we have to learn how to handle these situations, because we can save a lot more lives if we just know how to handle ourselves in these situations, knowing how to deal with difficult people in these situations. So we have to learn that we can't go tit for tat with people. You can't go evil for evil with people. You can't go hurl insults with insults. You can't cuss out people because they cussed you out. Because what happens is you give that person power when you're going back and forth with them. But if you just let them go, you just let them come forward and you don't send nothing back at them, then they're powerless. And even in this life, when we have confrontation with people, you know, the main thing is we should try to avoid these type of confrontations. But if we have to be around these people, we should know how to keep our distance from them and not engage in arguing with them. We have so many people out here getting killed because they don't know how to keep their distance from the drama and the mess. They keep themselves in the vicinity of it when they should learn how to walk away. It is smart to walk away sometimes, because too many of us try to stay and try to prove a point, try to prove that we're tougher than that person, try to prove that what you saying to me, it don't hurt me, but I got something in me that I can say that I can hurt you. We just standing there and we just still trying to go back and forth. And what it leads to is it leads to more anger, and it winds up leading to other things, including senseless violence. And it ends up with somebody losing their life.
Yes, yes. Amen.
But I'll just leave you with this one saying. It takes two fools to argue.
Amen.
But it always takes one smart person to walk away.
Amen.
Even sometimes, you know, we see sometimes that even Jesus, he walked away from situations that's getting out of hand. So that's what we have to do. We saw it in Mark chapter 3, verses 6 through 7, and it said, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway to a council with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself. We have to learn to withdraw ourselves when situations get out of hand. He withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him and from Judea. When we see people conspiring against us, spreading lies on us, spreading rumors and gossip about us, trying to assassinate our character, trying to talk about us behind our back to others, they just looking to argue and debate with us and get us all riled up, just like Jesus, we have to learn to walk away and withdraw ourselves from that mess. Amen.
Amen. So true. So true, Minister Sanders.
Because we have to understand that when we deal with difficult people, and you're going to come across a lot of them out here in these streets, because there's so many of them that still just out here, they're blind, they're walking in the darkness, and they don't have a relationship with God. So the only thing they have is the influences that they had when they was younger and that taught them. They had people in their ear that taught them that when somebody cussed at you, that you cussed them back out. That when somebody get out of line with you, you go grab a gun and you go handle your business. We a lot of us growing up with these type of influences in our life, so that's all we know out here. A lot of us don't know how to when somebody slap you on the one cheek, you turn the other. A lot of us still stuck that an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That was the type of influence we had. But we have to learn how to deal with people out here, and we have to learn how to defuse a situation before it get out of control, because it is so easy for us when we're dealing with difficult people to respond in our flesh, to get emotional, to get ourselves so angry that we want to just respond with violence, respond with cuss words, and just respond in a manner that we just physically and mentally and emotionally attack a person. But we have to understand that by doing that, all we doing is allowing others to bring out the worst in us.
That's right. That's right. Can I share a verse, Minister Sanders?
Sure, you can jump right on in.
Amen, amen.
Jump
powerful,
right on in, sister.
Powerful, amen. I just want to share, because as children of God, it reminds me of my sister, Prophet, my twinsie, Prophet Gabrielle. Sometimes she say, she talks with people, say, oh, I'm going to put my Christianity to the side, you know, like you can take it off and norm. But I just want to be remind the audience, Matthew 5:44, and this is a verse that truly helped me, because believe me, some people give you a lot of practice dealing with difficult people, but one of the verses that truly helped me was Matthew 5:44, and it says, and I'm reading from the King James Version, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them. Wait, let's stop right there. Love your enemies. And this is God's word. Not Prophet Lada, Minister Sanders, Prophet Gabriel. This is God's word. It says Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And it says, for if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same. So it's easy. I always tell people, you find out who's really in your corner when you say no or you can't do something or that love isn't there. But if people could just share that verse, even being children of God, because sometimes it's children of God that cut up out there. It's not just the world. If you can remember that, Matthew 5:44. Also, I want to share John 15:9. It says, as the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in love. And I use that verse a lot dealing with people that sometimes we had to love from afar. We're not supposed to hate nobody, and we had to forgive people. But some people, and it could be family, spiritual, or natural, and some people we had to love them from afar. So it says continue. Don't say if they do this or if they do that. But if we could get those, and it's a lot more other verses, but if we could just get those two down pack and share them, it might have an impact on some of the violence that's out here. Because if someone just take one child, sometimes it's a lot of kids, they didn't grow up with the proper love or the proper guidance, and they're acting out in anger. If their parents were abusive to them or angry towards them, then they grow up as angry teenagers and angry adults. So I just wanted to share that. I'm sorry, Mr. Sanders. I just placed those scriptures in me. And I want to ask Prophet Gabrielle, do you have any opinion on what he said? Amen.
Can you all hear me?
Amen.
Yes, amen. Well, amen. I'm just going to be brief. Amen. Glory be to God. You spoke, Prophet Lando, about domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, I was just listening, and I was listening to the Lord, and the Lord said, one thing I heard in the spirit is a lot of people don't realize that when we choose to be in sin, or if we're not brought up in the right upbringing, we automatically get in a spiritual domestic violence relationship with Satan, where Satan can do many things to us and force us to do things, because he don't ask you. Satan doesn't ask. You know, he doesn't lead you. See, we're led by God when you're in relationship with God. But when you're out of the will of God and you're in sin and you haven't been taught righteous or you have the wrong connection spiritually, you end up in a spiritual domestic violence with Satan. And I want to give everyone this scripture, if I can, right quick. It said, John 10:10. It said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And so I looked up and I said, well, what does domestic violence mean? And for those that don't know, it said domestic violence and emotional abuse are behaviors used by one person in a relationship to control the other. Mm-hmm. And if you look in the spirit, even in the church, you have a lot of people connected to the wrong leadership, and they're in a spiritual domestic violence relationship where they're forcing them and spiritually and emotionally abusing them because they see that they're spiritually naive and tenderhearted and willing to do whatever, quote unquote, thus says the Lord to do and that leader says to do. And so what they do is they start forcing things upon people. And they, some examples of this spiritual abuse, I was looking in the natural and I compared it. I went into the spirit with it. And then the natural examples of abuse, amen, include name calling or put down. Mm-hmm. You have some spiritual leaders who put you down spiritually because they see the anointing that's upon your life. So you're in a domestic violence relationship with spiritual leaders. It said keeping a partner from contacting their family or friends. Satan loves to isolate us. That's why we always encourage people, do not isolate yourself like that, because you're allowing Satan to control you, whether we realize it or not, in a spiritual domestic violence relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Glory be to God. And it said withholding money. There's a lot of people, even in the church, that Satan has their finances. And because they don't know how to tap into it in the spirit, he has control over them in that area. He controls that part of their life spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
It says stopping a partner from getting or keeping a job. There are some things in our life, even myself included, that we may not even know about yet, that Satan is blocking it, you know, or he's got a hold on it because we haven't tapped into it yet. See, that's domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
It said actual or threatened physical harm. Satan will threaten you. He will make it. He will try to get you to be deceived. He will use that against you. If you don't know the truth spiritually and you don't study the word and you're not connected, he will use things against you, even your dreams, whatever it is, to keep you from doing or finding out who you are. It says sexual assault. We know about sex demons. They sexually assault you while you sleep. That's a spiritual domestic violence relationship, incubus and succubus.
Mm-hmm.
Glory be to God. It says stalking. We know that there are certain demonic spirits that are sent to stalk you. You're trying to get rest, it's insomnia right in your ear. You're trying to get peace, there go depression. You're trying to keep your mind stable, here come double-minded spirit. And then it said intimidation. Oh, well, we know who operates in that, Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Jezebel is well-known for domestic violence. Look at her and Ahab. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Prophet Gabriel. If you would like to call in, 347-945-5416. You can, if you have a question or comment, press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen. Amen. And I just want to share why she's speaking on the topic of domestic violence, because it's such a hush-hush subject in some of these churches, and then sometimes I feel like our leaders are leading us the wrong way. I thank God at Eagle Wings Ministry, our leaders don't believe in a woman. You know, they believe in a woman getting help or getting counseling, but not staying in a bad situation. And I just wondered, I was reading an article by Danny Moss, and he poured out the verses of Luke 14:18-19. And I never connected them to domestic violence, because it's the question of, should I leave, should I stay? And I was reading that article, and I just want to read Luke 18:19. It says, the spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And this is God speaking. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I'm going to read that one more time. To set at liberty them that are bruised. When we are dealing with domestic violence or any violence, we are bruised. And Jesus is saying right here to set them at liberty. Jesus don't want us, when he pointed that out, I'm like, wow. Jesus don't want us to stay in abusive. He's setting at liberty. It don't say, I'm here to keep you captive to. It says to set at liberty. When I read that, I was like, I never connected that verse to that. And because so many churches have leaders that's saying pray, which you do pray, but saying that it's not grounds for divorce. And you have to remember, as a child of God, you are royalty. And it could be for men too, men and women. Do Jesus really want you to be abused in any way? Did he make you his child to be, you know, torn down, whether it be emotionally? Because abuse is not always physical. It's emotionally, mentally, as Prophet Gabrielle laid down everything. If you have a question or comment, 347-945-5416. And you can get into the cue box by pressing 1 if you have a question or comment. But, you know, too many times people are encouraged to stay into situations. And I truly believe when I've read that, I was like, wow, this is it. He's there to set them at liberty that are bruised. Amen. Minister Sanders, I'll give the floor back to you. Amen.
Amen. I just want to really speak on that, too, because now God would not want you to stay in a domestic violence situation.
Amen.
Because a lot of people, because they have stayed in it, they wind up losing their life.
Mm-hmm.
Because they tried to stay in it and they constantly tried to work it out, and they thought that the person that was in this, that was doing the abusing, they thought that this person was going to get better. They kept just saying, oh, it's going to get all right. It's going to get better. I'm
mm-hmm.
just going to stick with them and see how it works out. But in some, most cases, it doesn't get any better. As a matter of fact, it ends up getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up that when you do finally have the strength to get out of it, that person is so obsessive over you that they feel that if I can't have you, nobody can have you, and they will take your life. So if you are in an abusive relationship, I suggest that you get out of it, that you get away from it as quickly as possible.
Amen. Amen. And I want to
because
remind,
it can kill you.
Amen. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Minister Sanders. Amen.
It's okay. You can go ahead.
And I just want to be remindful, because I always believe, you know, as children of God, we should always have verses to encourage us. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, ESV version, love is patient and kind. Is abuse patient and kind? I don't think so. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude, but abuse is. It does not insist on its own way, but abuse do. It is not irritable or resentful. Abuse is. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Abuse does. But rejoice with the truth. Love beareth all things. Abuse don't. Believeth all things. Hope all things. Endure all things. And another one that, one more I wanted to mention was 2 Timothy 3:1-8 ESV. It says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpeaceable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. So those are characteristics of abusers. You know, I truly think that God does not. Yes, you could pray, and yes, you can go through the proper means of going to your church and getting counseling or even going to a professional thing. But if that person don't want to do that, then I believe that you need to run real quick out of it. Amen. Amen. Anybody want to chime in? 347-945-5416. You can press 1 to get in the cue box. Minister Sanders or Prophet Gabrielle, do you want to expound on those verses a little? All right.
Okay, can you say that verse again you read, Prophet Londa?
Which one? The 2 Timothy 3:1-8 or love? 1 Corinthians 13.
Yes, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy.
This is okay, 2 Timothy 3:1-8 ESV version. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, which most abusers are, lovers of money, that's financial abuse, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, all characteristics of abusers, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, definitely a characteristic of abuser, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, and this goes on a lot in the church because we hush-hush about it, but denying its power. Avoid such people.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's just, you know, the way that the world has become. That's the dangerous part, as Dr. Miles Monroe said, about being a free will more agent. That's the dangerous part of having free choice created by God, is that we can also choose to do evil, but you don't get to choose the consequences for it. You really don't. And see, that's what's wrong with people. They move in microwave terms, but they don't consider the outcome and who it's going to affect, how it's going to affect their family, how it's going to affect the ministry they may be a member of, how it's going to affect their own life. Who gets the glory, whether it's going to be Satan or God, and what they do. And so a lot of times people, whether they're in the church or not, that are selfish, when they choose to be selfish, they're only thinking about pleasing self, and that's satanic. That self-gratification is satanic all day, because God is not, like you said, those they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth, you know. And so the flesh and the spirit, they're like enemies. They're enemies. They're contrary to one another. They're oil and water.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. That's what we have to be mindful of. You have a lot of people because they a lot of times in the world, they raise us that way, to be all about self. You know, I got to get mine, you get yours. You know, you got to step on this person to get ahead, or you got to sleep with it. No, you don't have to sin just to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender, not the borrower. Amen. And so that's, you know, what I get from that, and just so much on that. And, you know, even with the domestic violence thing, you know, I was thinking about it. When you look at the genders, of course, the truth is, in the natural, a lot of more women get physically abused. And then I looked in the spirit and I said, but the truth is, another truth is that we have to realize too, is if you look at it in the spirit concerning genders, Satan more so is spiritually abusive with men than he is with women, for a reason. If you notice, if you look at some churches, you'll see way more women in the natural going forth, doing this and doing that, than you will see men. And Satan purposely in the spirit, he's strategic and structured. He understands order, and men are the head. And that's one thing I want to say even to the men out here. My heart goes out to you, because if you look at it, there's so many men either caught up into homosexuality, or they're bisexuals, transgenders. You know, they battling with their identity because they were molested. They're still battling with neglect and rejection and abandonment from their parents. The mother left them in a drug house for some crack. You know, the father abused them, or he left the home. You know, he said he didn't want him to be there. He didn't plan on having another son, you know, and he treated him like David's father treated him and despised him and looked at him in disgust, you know, off of assumptions. So my heart goes out to the men, because actually men in the spirit, if you look at that and really let the Lord show you and give you revelation on that, they go through more of a domestic violence in the spirit with Satan. Satan really does attack them even the greater. You know, he puts things in front of their face, you know, tears them down, you know, hit them in the spirit, pushing Jezebels in their face, pushing Delilah their way, shoving drugs up on them, you know, shoving hip-hop, all this other kind of stuff, you know, masturbation, pornography. That's controlling. That's controlling, you know, because it's like they don't have a say-so, because they haven't tapped yet into their identity. And a lot of men now in the spirit, even in the church, in leadership, all they can do is open their mouth, but they have no sound because of a spiritual domestic violence relationship with the enemy. Amen.
Amen. Minister Saunders, do you have anything to say on that? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Prophetess Gabrielle, she just said a mouthful.
Yes.
And
yes.
And we just clearly seeing that a lot of domestic violence is due to identity crisis.
Mhm. Yeah.
It is due to us not knowing who we really are.
Mhm.
It's due to us being confused, having a spirit of confusion, and so because of that, we lash out in hatred, and we lash out in violence. So we have to really understand who we are and whose we are,
mm-hmm.
And then we will begin to understand and know who God is. Well, we have to know who God is first, because the Bible tells us that God is love.
Amen.
So
yes,
if we don't know who God is, then we won't know how to love. So the reason for so much of the abuse and the violence is because we don't know how to love. We don't know God. We don't have a relationship with God. So we don't know how to have a relationship with our spouse, with our mate, with our friends, with our neighbor.
That's
so
true.
So domestic violence, it just covers anything that's not love. It is domestic violence.
Yes.
Anything outside of love is domestic violence. So we have to understand that we have to know who God is. We have to take time in the Word, and we have to be in prayer. We need to develop a relationship with God first before we try to develop a relationship with anybody else.
Amen. I agree with that. A lot of times, most people that are abusers, they don't have the love of God in you. How can you have the love of God in you and be an abuser? The two just they don't cohabitate. So you're right. A lot of times they don't, and you have to pray for them. Psalms 11:5 reminds us, the Lord tests the righteous. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence, his soul hates. God hates the wicked, the ones who love violence, children of God. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. If you are a person and you're violent, domestic violence, like I said, can be emotionally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, physically, any of them. God hates it. He hates the wicked and the ones that love violence. That's his word, not my mind. And another thing that we reminded in Colossians 3, just the word, a lot of times with women, we're emotional, so God doesn't have to so much remind us to be loving. And I'm not saying this because it is some men that are abused too, yes, and it's wrong. Even when a woman do it, it's wrong. But in Colossians 3:13, it reminds us, you know, God is reminding the husband, Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. God already know. None of this is new to God. None of it. Fathers, provoke not your children in anger, lest they be discouraged. God already know the makeup of a man, know what the man is capable of, and women too. But he's reminding us, don't be bitter. Abuse is bitter. Don't be harsh. Abuse is harsh. God does not want that for us. He wants love. All through the Bible is love, 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 love. 1 Peter 3:7, ESV, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Look what being, you know, when you're abusive, you hinder your prayers. That's why I said the two don't mix. Being abusive and loving God, it's the two just don't mix. What advice would you give, Minister Saunders, that, you know, if a young man came to church and just say, you know, I'm struggling? Because that's the big part of the problem. A lot of abusers don't even want to accept or admit that they are abusers. And that's the big part, you know, that's a big part of the problem with a lot of them. But if a young man came to you, what would you do? I have an abuse problem. You know, well, I want to get it right. What would you do? What would you suggest to him? Or her. It could be a woman.
Well, like either one, the first thing I have to tell them is I would have to tell them first that, like you say, a lot of us don't want to, we don't want to admit, mm-hmm. we don't want to admit that we have a problem. We don't want to admit that we abuse somebody
mm-hmm.
because a lot of us, if you have been doing it for so long, it just seems like it's a normal process.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing we need to do is to tell them first that you need to examine yourself. That's what I tell them first. You got to really look at yourself. Take a look at yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. And I'm not talking about the glass mirror that's in our bathroom or the little glass mirror we hold up in our hand. But they're going to really have to – you're going to have to pick up that Bible, that Word of God, and you're going to have to look in it. And a lot of us don't want to do that
mm-hmm.
because that's what Jesus told us to do. He said that in order to follow him, you got to deny yourself. So once you look in that book, you're gonna have to deny yourself. And you need to first examine yourself, and then you gotta deny yourself of them things, because they have to look at what they're doing that's making them be the way that they are, that's making them have the type of behavior. Because even when you look at Galatians 5:19-21. We see that the works of the flesh, he said that the work of the flesh are evident. Sexual
yeah.
immorality, something that Prophetess Gabriel was just talking about, in impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. All of these things, just like she was saying, they play a part of us being abusive towards others, especially
yeah.
when we are involved in things, doing things that God hates.
Yeah.
When we've been doing things that God hates, we can't love God and we can't love others.
That's right. So true. Prophet Gabriel, young lady, you know, you're a leader. Young lady, come to you. You know, I'm being abused. You know, this man, he's not listening. We try counseling. It's not working. What advice would you give, Prophet Gabriel?
Amen. The first thing I would have to do is, because, you know, I love psychology. And the
Amen.
First thing I love to do is I'll let people go ahead and vent this young lady. I will listen to her and also be listening in the spirit. And then I will ask her questions. You know, I would backtrack. I need
mm-hmm.
to know, how did they get involved?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what made her even get involved with him, because the root to that is she has an identity crisis. People who have identity crisis, they tend to often come together, and that's why it leads to death, because it's a toxic relationship. They're both toxic people. And, you know, when you got two toxic people that's insecure coming together, there's no good going to come out of that. It's going to fall quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
mm-hmm.
going to fall no matter how they try to force that to work. So my thing is to not be religious with her, you know, and just slap her down with stuff and pour oil all over her and saturate her, you know, have her looking like cooked greased chicken or something. But my thing is to listen to her, amen, listen to her heart's cry, because another thing is, too, 9 times out of 10, she got father issues, and she's just looking for love in the wrong places with the wrong faces. And another thing is, she 9 times out of 10, when you're dealing with females, too, they haven't had that father-daughter establishment, and some of them have been molested by men who were supposed to be a father, but instead
mm-hmm.
they were the molester. They were part of the problem,
mm-hmm.
you know. And also, she's probably been with guys who only wanted her for what was between her legs. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
she's still hunting, trying to find a father figure, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially when you meet them and a guy be way older than them and they like 12 years apart. You know, it's something about him that's fatherly to her. You know,
mm-hmm.
so she's looking for the father, but the father's not in the flesh. He's in the spirit, but she don't know that yet. So I would have to be transparent with her, depending on what I'm hearing in the spirit, and just by discerning her spirit and be transparent, so that with a soft tongue, like Proverbs 18:14 says, you know, when you're dealing with people, she has a wounded spirit. She's wounded. You know, she's wounded. You know, because Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Who can bear that? You know, so I have to tread lightly when you're dealing with people like that, that's in domestic violence relationships and with people that they know is toxic. But because there's something where they want to be accepted. See, they didn't have that acceptance with their father, with their mother, you know, and that's the roots of things. It's like your parents are the foundation for you learning about who you are as you come into your adulthood, because they're supposed to set the foundation for you. And if that foundation isn't laid, guess what? You're going to look for the drug dealer to build it. You'll look for the pimp to build it. You'll look for the stripper pole to build it. You're going to look for, you know, abusive mates to build it. Even though you don't verbally say that, and in your mind, you wouldn't do that out of a natural choice, but your heart. Your heart is speaking. You know.
Amen. Any questions or comments, 347-945-5416. You could press 1 to get in the queue box. Any questions or comments? What do y'all say, my big brother and sister, for a person? Because a lot of churches are still using a Malachi 2:16 verse, you know, for people to stay in abusive relationships. It says, for the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hateth putting away. For one covered violence with his garment, said the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed of your spirit that you deal not treacherously. You know, a lot of people still think, oh, no matter what, pray, separate, stay. It's not grounds for divorce. Can I have your opinion? I'll speak with mine. I honestly think that, God, like I said earlier, God does not want us to stay in a hurtful situation. Sometimes if you did all that you can, you pray, you seek counsel, and that person still doesn't want to change. We serve a forgiving God. We serve a God of grace. God in Micah 7:18-19, God does not retain anger. He's compassionate. Although he hates divorce, he won't stay angry at us. What are your views on it, Minister Sanders? If a person came to you and another church had used that scripture to keep them in an abusive relationship, marriage.
Well, yeah, I know people always use that they try to use that for to try to, you know, get you to stay in a relationship. But I have to just say this, that even you know, that scripture is right, that you should, you know, you didn't pray. You pray for that person and you stuck it out. You stuck it out. And you tried to make things work. But I heard you say this before when we was talking on the we all had the little meeting on the line one time, and we was talking about it. And I just could say, like we just was talking about the little scripture. It's one in Psalms 11:5 where it say the Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence.
Yeah.
So we know that. We know that even when the righteous person that's in this abusive relationship and when they being tested, we know that God hates that situation. He hates that wicked situation, and he hates that person, and he hates the one that loves the violence in that relationship that's bringing forth the violence. So why would a loving God wants you to stay in a hateful relationship.
That's what
I would have to tell somebody. Why would a loving God want you to stay in a hateful relationship?
It just doesn't make sense.
So my thing is, after you have exhausted all options, you have to get out of that.
Amen.
And when you see that it's not getting any better. When that person is not getting any better, even when that person keep trying to say, just please, just stay here, hang with me, I'm gonna get better," but you don't see no change taking place. You're not seeing this person trying to take the steps to change. You have to get out of it, because it's gonna be damaging to you in the long run.
Amen. I wanted to share Micah 7:18. It says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever." Praise God, because men do, but God doesn't, because he delighteth in mercy. And 19, "He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, and he will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins in the dust of the sea." So that's just a reminder, you know, when people try to use that verse against you, that we have a God that does not retain anger. And as Minister Sanders mentioned, you know, the verse with the Psalms 11:5, God does not want, he hates the wicked. He don't want us in an abusive relationship. Prophet Gabrielle, I didn't forget you, big sis. What do you say to that person that wants to hold, you know, that person, that leader that holds that verse to someone in an abusive relationship? Malachi 2:16, God hate the putting away. What do you say?
Amen, amen. I just want to say on that, you know, I had a leader who was 2 years younger than me, and he was sharing with me one time when he told a young lady to stay in a marriage mm-hmm. that was abusive, and mm-hmm. it led to her death. He killed mm-hmm. her, you know, mm-hmm. and so he said, till this day, he regrets that he ever told her that. He said, so from here on out, he'll never tell another person to stay married to somebody who's in a domestic violence relationship that does not want to change and they're not trying to change, and they're going to stay the way they is with their demon, you mm-hmm. know. So he said, I'll never do that again, because, you know, he was just taught wrong and he thought it would be good to try to work it out. But, he said he learned a lot from that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, domestic violence, you all, is one of the things that I said. I have three reasons that I would say, look, it's just time to call it quits and y'all go your ways. You know, and one of them is, of, amen. One of them is adultery, amen. And the next one is, of course, domestic violence. Because if you've already tried to communicate this person with the right spirit, and you were led by the Lord, and they steady saying no, and they in denial about it, and they got their mind made up that there's nothing you can do to get them to want to change, well, you can't force them. You can't go against their will. You know, and if they're going to continue to still provoke you, you know, and still bring out the worst in you, you know, and try to abuse you and tear you down, you know, that's just not going to work. Because the Word mm-hmm. of God says, how can two be together unless they're in agreement? Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah. it's already divided, you know. And the third thing is, if you got together when you was in sin and you got married, but then one of you choose to give your life to Christ and the other one is saying, I'm not going to mm-hmm. do that. Or as
that's
they say,
so
I'm
kind.
Not about that life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then now we got an oil and water situation. And then if they still don't believe in even going to the church, they don't want to undo your spiritual leaders, and they saying all this and trying to tear them down, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work, because you can't make them give up their demons, you
That's
know.
Right.
Because
yeah.
the first thing they're going to keep doing is throwing up your past. Well, you remember when we got together, what we was into, but yeah, but now one of you done chose to change. You see the light now. Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, for me, when it comes to domestic, amen, the first scripture I would give somebody is, what does love say? Love did not say to let someone beat you down. We're supposed to edify one another. Amen.
Yeah.
And God doesn't do, we're God's bride. If God don't do it to us, what we look like being married to a human being and letting them do it to us?
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen. I always say, use 1 Corinthians 13. And you know, that's the love chapter. We started out with the service today. Love is patient and kind. That's love. If it's
Amen.
Not patient and kind, it's not love. And we reminded again of Luke 4:18. This is Jesus speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Again, we're reminded God does not want us to stay bruised. I just wanted to share these couple of verses real quick. Any questions or comments, 347-945-5416. You can hit 1 to get in the queue box. Ephesians 4:29-32, and this can go into violence and domestic violence. Let no corrupt talk, this is Ephesians 4:29-32 ESV, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. Abuse doesn't do that, and violence don't do that, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Violence don't give grace, and abuse don't. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all the malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgive you. A lot of times violence doesn't forgive, and abuse, domestic violence, don't forgive. And then I want to share Romans 12:17-21. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will reap. You will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. So I just wanted to share that, you know, to be reminded that, you know, God does not, nowhere in the Bible, he honors violence. He honors wickedness. You know, violence, domestic violence, regular violence, he does not want us to be a part of that. And the thing about it is, let God deal with it. Sometimes we have to defend ourselves, and it's a time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3 reminds us, that whole chapter, it's a time for this and a time for that. So sometimes we have to, but we should try our best, especially as children of God, of not dealing with things and violence, because we have God, and trust me, can't nobody, we don't pray that something happened to somebody, but God has your back. When somebody do you wrong and you a child of God, believe me, he has your back. I'll go to Prophet Gabriel first. Prophet Gabriel, you have anything else to say towards violence or domestic violence?
No, I don't, but I thank God for the word and how we talk to him today. Amen.
Yes, amen. Minister Sanders, do you have anything else to say about violence or domestic violence?
All I want to say is just one word tonight before we leave off. And we all just been saying this word so much. And it's love.
Amen.
That's the word that we all need to stick with as love. It is just one simple thing that God asks us to do, but is yet so hard for us in our flesh to do towards him and towards one another. In John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. But I just goes back, like I said, that when we know who God is, we know we will know how to love him, and we will know how to love one another. But we have to first learn to know who God is and to learn how he loved us by sending his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, down to die for us. When we begin to see that sacrificial, unconditional love, that right there should propel us to carry that same type of love in us and to share it out here in the world with one another. And I believe that if we had unconditional agape love towards one another, whether it's in friendships or relationships or even just out here with our neighbors, I would guarantee you that we will have less violence in the streets and less violence in the home.
Yes, yes. Amen, amen. I just want to remind our audience, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, ESV, love is patient and kind. It does, love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoice with the truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's love, and God is love. And if that person isn't doing that, then I truly believe, love them from afar. Don't hate them. God doesn't want us to hate. Pray for them and love them from a distance. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Any questions or comments, 347-945-5416. Before we close out, we want to open the floor. If anyone is listening and they don't know Jesus, you want to know, you know, how can I have the love of God in me? You know, you never said the salvation prayer. you know, you're tired of me. Maybe you're a person that's angry. Maybe you're a person that has violent ways and you don't want to live like that anymore. Because when you don't have God in your life, you don't have joy. Joy is different. Happiness is temporary. Joy is something that's more lasting. If you're on the line and that's you, you can hit the Q box. Hit 1-347-945-5416 and we'll pray for you. Or if you on the line, you want to rededicate yourself. Maybe you struggle with one of these areas and you need prayer. 347-945-5416. Hit 1 to get in the queue box. If anyone is on the line and they just want us to pray, we're here to pray for you. 347-945-5416. Hit 1 to get in the queue box. Or if you have any questions or comments, something you might agree or disagree with on tonight before we leave off, any questions or comments, 347-945-5416. Hit 1 to get in the queue box. Amen. Well, since no one has question, comments, or prayer, I want to once again thank Apostle Marcus Dupree, Lady Prophet Selena Dupree, for entrusting us to do Black Talk Radio this evening. Thank you. I want to thank Prophet Gabrielle, Minister Sanders. Amen. Wonderful, amen. Wonderful amen. Service. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just a reminder, we don't have to stay in violence.
Amen.
And I want to remind the audience today, once a week, if you're a person that you know, only you could be truthful with yourself. I'm not a compassionate person. I'm not going to say once a day. Start off with once a week. Show some compassion to somebody. Do something nice that you normally don't do. Can you notice the difference that will make on the world if everybody did just one thing a week, and then you'll start enjoying it. Then it'll become once a week doing something nice and compassionate. Start off with that. Challenge yourself. You know if you're a person that you know you're either compassionate or loving or you're not. It starts with you. And if you are that type of person, encourage, take somebody, young person or an adult, encourage them. You know, make a pay it forward challenge, as the world say. We call it compassion. Amen. But I just want to thank you. I thank Minister Sanders. Can you just give us your ministry and leader? We want to acknowledge him for allowing you to speak. We appreciate that. Acknowledge your. We thank you for being our guest speaker, Minister Sanders. Can you let us know what church you fellowship with and your leader?
Amen. I'm with St. Mark International
Amen.
Christian Church.
Amen.
I'm under the leadership of Pastor Andre Thurman.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we thank you, Pastor Thurman, and anyone else from the congregation that's on listening tonight. And we thank you again, Apostle Marcus Dupree, Lady Prophet Selene Dupree, Prophet Gabrielle, Eagles Wings International Ministry. We thank you. Amen. For entrusting
amen.
Us with
you're
that.
Huh? I said, amen. You're welcome.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you again, Big Brother, Big Sister. With that being said, we'll close out in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, Lord, just thanking you for the awesome Black Talk on tonight, Lord. We just pray that, you know, someone, it was even if it was able to help one person, Lord, it was worth it, Lord. We ask that, you know, it fall on good ground and not thorny ground or the ground where the enemy can take the word away, Lord. We pray that tonight's service bless someone, Lord. And even if someone was too scared to speak up, Lord, we pray that you will connect them with someone if they want to rededicate their lives or get themselves back to, or even, you know, be saved. Lord, or if, you know, if they don't have the proper connections, Lord, properly connect them to where they need to go, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we pray for these. We pray for Prophet Gabriel, Minister Sanders. We thank you for Lady Sanders, just the support of her husband, Lord. And we thank you for Prophet Gabriel, who's always, you know, dedicating herself to the Lord. I thank you for this man and woman of God, Lord, and I ask that you bless them in a mighty way, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for anything. Block them from any prayers retaliation or anything that the enemy may have waiting for them, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you,
yes, Lord,
for allowing them to be used, both of them, Lord, happily, joyfully, Lord. We
thank you.
God. And, Lord, bless our leaders, Pastor Thurman, Apostle Dupree, Lady Prophet
Selena, yes, Lord,
Dupree, Prophet Gabrielle, Prophet Veronica,
yes,
Prophet Maya. Bless them in a mighty way, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you in advance. We know it's done, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, good night, everyone.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you again. We thank our guest speaker, Minister Saunders. Thank you for joining us. Me and Prophet Gabriel. Amen.